If you have a Bible with you, go to Mark chapter 1, verse 40. So let me just tell you more or less where we're going today. If you, let's be honest about it. Who, if at all, who of us that spends time with God at times feels like, okay, right, I'm opening my Bible, I'm here to pray, and just feels like nothing happens? Is it only me? Okay, there's a few people. So you're like, okay, I'm going to spend time with God now. You open your Bible, you're like, click, click. There is just nothing happening. You just feel, what am I doing here? Is God alive? Am I stupid? And sometimes we just don't know how to connect with God. And tonight, I hope to break down a few of those walls. All right, so follow me as we head on to this section of scriptures. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him, him is Jesus, right? And kneeling and said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and said, and sent him away at once. And said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the town, but was out in desolate places and the people were coming to him from every quarter. I want to show you just how rich scripture is in speaking truth to God. This is a perfect 5 verses for a kiddie's Bible. I mean, think about it. You've got a sick guy on the floor. You've got Jesus with the beard and long hair. And then you read the story to your little kid how Jesus touches him and he's healed. And surely that's the thing that stands out. Jesus touches him and he's healed. But there's a lot more to this portion of scripture. And it's actually going to show us, help us a lot on how to come to Christ. So the question that I'm going to answer first is, how must I come to Jesus when I draw near to him? How must I apply myself to him? Is there a right way to come to him? Is there a wrong way? Surely there's different ways to come to Christ. Sometimes we come to him in thanksgiving. Yes, thanks Lord for today. I'm going to raise at work. I'm extremely happy and I give you the glory. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we come because we're in a difficult spot, right? Yes, Lord, if you don't help me now, there is big trouble. We come to him in different ways, and I think it's okay. God, that's what God wants, relationships. Those of us that's married, sorry, I don't have my ring on tonight, or that's in a relationship, we know sometimes a relationship is great fun. Other times, it's not so much fun. The knives are coming your way, you must just die. Okay? Hopefully not. Listen, if it's normal in your house, please come and see me. We have to work with it. But God is into relationships. It's okay if you often come to him with different needs and in different ways. What I do want to say is, I think in the more traditional churches, Christ became a figure that's kind of far from us. So, I mean, you go to church, that's your contact point with God, but it's not like you're near to him. Then on the other side, it's like this thing just swing wide over. You get almost like a ministry angel that says, Jesus is your little buddy. And he is so cool and he's rad. And I see where they're going. They want people to have a personal relationship with God. But guys, there's something that we must be very aware of. Let's see what this guy does. Now I'm back to verse 40 because I'll be taking the scripture apart. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, this guy comes to Jesus. Well, actually, Jesus walks past him. He probably couldn't walk. And he's imploring Jesus. And he's kneeling before him now to implore, for the answer by that, it's just to pray earnestly, out of the heart. And another word that they could say there, exactly where it says implore, is besieged, to ask earnestly, to be plead, to beg. He comes to Christ and he kneels down. Before he speaks, he says, Lord, I'm on my knees. He goes down. Before he speaks, he says, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm in trouble. And the first thing I want to drop to us tonight, first thing I want to ask, please don't put up your hand. When last did you go on your knees before God? You see, let me knock ourselves. As charismatics, we are charismatic if we have to put ourselves somewhere in the box. We into worship, we lift our hands. Yes, Jesus, yay. But when last did I or one of us go on our knees before God? It's like, you know what? When I look at you, I don't walk down the floor. You are great and worthy to be praised. Yes, I can come to him boldly. Ephesians said, come to him boldly. God wants us to come to him. He wants us to have a free relationship and speak to him openly. But it's also important that we know where our position before Christ is. The best position is on our knees. It speaks of the condition of our heart. He's God. I'm man. He does not need me. I need him. He's not part of my plan. That's another big thing today. God is part of God's got my back. God's got my back. No. You either part of his plan, or I don't know who's got your back. You are called to be a part of his plan. You are called to be a mouthpiece for him. If you are far from him, every single person, right, born in sin, are you with me? There's one place you can go for forgiveness. That's Jesus. And that's how it stays. We need him. From day one, we need him. And the moment when he saves us, we follow his plan the best we can. We deny our own plans for his. We don't make a decision to say, God will back me, God will back me. You will end up in a dark place. Amen? He came down and knelt before Christ. Some of us are going to kneel tonight. If you don't know exactly where you are, you don't know where to go. Maybe you are immense, depressed, okay? Maybe you've been going around in circles for quite a few years. I mean, you're getting by and, you know, you work and you actually do your part. You work hard. It really feels like you're going in circles. I'm telling you, you want to break out into a place where God uses you, where life happens, start on your knees before God. Amen? Let's take a few lessons from this sick guy. On his knees before Christ. Shows God that we know he is God, and we are men absolutely in need of him. You guys are shocked. Did I start with a bang or something? Are you okay? So just keep away. Number one, and I hope this will help you in your intimacy with God. By the way, did you know that God wants to be intimate with you? How are you intimate with God? Let me show you. It's as easy as this. You take time, by the way, which is the most precious thing you have, because people don't have time. If you open this Bible and you say, God, I don't even know what to do. I'm going to start reading Psalms. I don't care where you start. Now, I pray, Lord, that you do something in my heart. And now let's say I just open here. Psalm 83. Lord, I want to be intimate with you. Oh God, do not be silent. Do not be deaf. Do not be quiet, oh God. Don't you hear the uproar of your enemies? Don't you see that your arrogant enemies are rising up? They devise crafty schemes against your people. They conspire against your precious ones. Lord, help me, Lord. I feel like a thousand people are coming against me. I need your help. I look to you for answers. I look to you for protection. You open the Word of God. You start speaking, and that's exactly where you enter intimacy with God. And the better way is to even go on your knees before it and say, Lord, even before I open that Bible, speak to me this morning or tomorrow. I want to hear from you. I'm like that letter. You know, I can be proud. I'm healthy. I walk. There's money that's coming to my account in month, I can buy stuff. But you know what? I am no different from that leper. Because I need God with every fiber in me. And if I know it, then it means the Holy Spirit has shown it to me. Okay? Let's go to God with great humility. You know, I know there's a sickness today. It's called baptism. Have you realized? You know, children are in charge of the parents and throwing stuff around. The children determine the program of the parents. And then kids grow up and then they don't know how to bow the knee before God. Because from the beginning of their life, they are God. Guys, we need to step up and kneel before a powerful God. Amen. Before we start acting loud here, make massive music and more people, every week there's more people here. Let's stay in a place of humility before God. Amen. How to come to Him with great humility. I'm carrying on. How must I apply myself to Jesus? Same verse, just moving on. So after this guy knelt down, he said, if you will, Jesus, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. You know how significant those words are? Let me tell you, this guy has never met Jesus. He's probably never ever met Jesus, or he probably would have been healed previous time. Okay? This guy doesn't know, is Jesus friendly? Is Jesus harsh? Is he kind? Would Jesus chase children away, or would he make them sit on his lap? He doesn't know that. Okay, we know, because we've got the full gospel. But one thing this guy knows, he says, well, if you will, you can make me clean. You've got the power to change me. And you know why that is significant? Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees denied Jesus. They said, no, he's a hoax, he's a fake, he's nothing. And there's this little guy, lying on the floor, and he says, if you will, you can make me clean. And what is he saying right there? You are God. Only God can heal me of the sickness, and you can do it, Jesus. If you only will, you can make me clean. He knew that Jesus was sent from God, and he's now sick. Guys, the second thing. Come to God and know that He is powerful enough to change your life around. Have you been stuck in certain stuff? Look, definitely. Guys, put up your hands. Just turn around. That guy was in a coma. Put it up high. He was in a coma. The doctor said, brain dead. Today he's even smarter than his brother. I'm not even joking. God can heal physically. Yes. Does God heal sicknesses? Yes. We pray for people? Yes. Sometimes people get healed, sometimes don't. Doesn't matter. We just pray because the Bible says go for it. So we do it. God heals physical body, and Ty is an example of that. Walking, living, breathing, so on. But more than that, don't put physicality as the only box there. What is the issue in your life? You know that the stuff that kills people is not natural stuff often. It's pain in the heart, depression, bitterness. Someone did something to you, and you know they were wrong. You were wrong by that person. They should have. You know what? I believe every child deserves a good dad. I mean, come on, who agrees with me? Okay. Better, you're a good dad. I mean, for crying out loud, every little girl deserves a good mom and dad. But is that the truth? How many people get dumped? How many babies get dumped? How many little girls get abused sexually? Let's be honest here. I'm not scared to talk about this stuff. By men, women, uncles, aunties. People get sinned against, right? And something happens in your heart and you are hurt. And you carry that thing with you. You know, that thing will take you to the grave if you don't allow God to come to you. So even this guy is a leper, right? Physical sickness. I'm telling you now, there's something emotionally in your heart weighing you down. That thing can take you out. But do you know today, like that, that Lord, you can make me clean. You must draw a line in your life. And even if you are sinned against, you know what you must do? You must forgive. That unforgiveness does not hurt that person, it hurts you. Opens doors in your life in massive pain. Are you with me? What happened to you? What is your story? I don't know your story. Maybe you're the type of person that's actually positive, but even like this year, you've tried and you've really put your shoulder to the wheel. You are working, but stuff just keep on blowing up in your face. And you're telling yourself, listen, I'm going to do this right this time, and you fail again. And you start to think that you're a failure. You know what? God wants to come into your life. He wants to come and change that. He's got something for you within himself. He's got a purpose for you. He wants to come and lift that yoke. But you need to come to him first on your knees, humbly. Lord, I'm before you on my knees. I need you. And say, I know you can do this. I know. I rely on you and on you alone. The next point that's kind of tied up with this one, knowing he has the power, check what this guy does. He says, Lord, you've got power. I know you're powerful. I know you can make me clean. I know you can make me clean. He takes God's power and he applies it to his own life. And you know, I'll be honest with you, coming from an extremely traditional church, for me, God was quite far. And I had a good God sense. I knew he was powerful, and I knew like God was beautiful, and he helps people, but not me. There is a distance between me and God. And that hurt my relationship with God. And check what this guy does. He says, well, I know you, powerful God, even though I'm on my knees, I am before you nothing. You want to do something in me. In woman, in Krishna, in Joyce, in Red, in me. In your life, not just out there, not like for some people, not for many in with this white suit only. Okay? For you. Not just for people that come on TV lately. No, God wants to come into your life. You need to open up. Amen? God wants to come so close to us, guys. So to summarize the first three points, go to the book of great humility with that thing on your heart that's pressing you down, that's weighing you down. Go to him. Go to him before you go to humans. Confess his strengths. Tell him who he is. Lord, you are God created. Look back over your life. Think of the times where God was there for you. Lord, you did this for me. I know you're powerful. But Father, I need you to come into my life personally and help me have victory over this enemy. Call that thing on its name. Guys, I'll say it over and over. I think that's why the Lord is doing also a beautiful work here. We're great. We're not scared of talking straight about stuff. Let me talk to you about pornography and stuff for a second. Almost every guy, listen, I won't make you put up your hands, don't worry. The enemy comes for every guy in this area. I can't talk for the girls. But every man will have this temptation. And you know what the enemy wants to do? He wants to destroy you. He wants to take your manhood, he wants to take your confidence, so that you can't even have a proper conversation with the girl and look in the eye. That's what the enemy wants to do. You know, the enemy came for me when I was in school. And when I was my first year, God, I came to God, I drew a line, I said, Lord, no more. I need to turn to you. If I did not have the victory over pornography, lust, masturbation, I would not be here today, I promise you. I might know God, I don't know God, you know, read my Bible. But that was essential for me to start walking into my calling. I needed that victory. What about you? Where are you at? God wants to come personally into your situation and deliver you and help you. I say with all boldness, if I did not get victory over pornography, I would not be here today ministering the word of God. And I would not be married. I tried many times, God came and lifted me up. I turned to Him and He helped me. Amen? That's a short story. We're going to have a relationship week in May. Then we're going to take the gloves off properly. But that's a little introduction right there. Is that okay? Ad break? It's the last thing I want to say then on verse 40. You know, this, all three points out of one verse. Can we just go to the next slide? Just check it out. I mean, of course, this guy, he didn't have a Bible, right? He didn't have a really good sense of what God's will is or what not. So he says, if your will, you can make me clean. And there's something beautiful about that. First thing I want to say, guys, we need to eat the word of God. It is God's word. This is God's word. This is what God gave us. Jesus quoted the Old Testament when he spoke. Right? Then, these words and the apostles makes the New Testament. This is God's. You want to know what God has to say to you? You need to read this thing, guys. You need to eat this. We need to underline your words. If you've got a very expensive Bible, get one that's not so expensive and highlight, write down. I don't care what you do, but you need to start eating this thing, right? We need to know His will. Amen? He says, if your will, you can make me clean. I want to say to us, guys, let's commit our ways to the Lord. Let's find out what God's will is for our lives. I want to say it straight as well. You cannot date a girl as a follower of Christ without asking God, where is this going, Lord? Is this the girl? Is this the one? Theo and Estelle are engaged. Yay. She's obviously the one. You know, we don't just go on in life with stuff like relationship, people's hearts, and just every now and then there's a prayer. God wants to be involved because He wants to show you the one that He has for you. Right? So just like this man says, if you will, he's trying to hear from God what His will is for him. And then he'll be happy. What's up in your life? What's up in my life? Let's commit our ways to the Lord. Everything in our lives. The decisions we make, it shows the value of God in our life. Do you know that? The way you live shows how valuable Jesus is to you. The decisions you make, everything about you, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, the relationship that you're in or the one that you're not in, everything you do shows that Christ is either valuable to you or that something else is more valuable than Christ. Alright? And the challenge underneath each one of us is, if your life was a check, right? A blank check, how valuable would Christ be on it? What would the world see if they look at your life? Would they say, wow, listen, I don't even know this Jesus, I'm not even a Christian, but in this guy's life, you can see that Jesus is so important for this person because of the decisions he made. You know what that's called? It's called to glorify God. We glorify God by taking our lives and bringing it under His will. You find His will in Scripture and in church. We've got small groups on a Wednesday night. And what we do is we come together and we say, listen, maybe release of my small group. I've got a decision to make. I want to please God. What do you think about this? Now, this guy has done it in the past. He's bumped his head. He's saying, man, listen, this is what happened. Watch out for this. And so just by communing with Christians, praying together, God's will coming into my life, And I don't have to bump my head the way he bumped his head. Amen? Getting excited. Yo, check this out. Next dish. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. You know what, girls? Do you know that God made you to be beautiful? Guys, also, let's talk about the girls first. God made you to be beautiful. I think God loves it when you put your little makeup on, put your hair back. He loves you. Dance around you. Did you know you find your ultimate beauty in God? Did you know that? When you worship God, there's something about your beauty that comes up and shines. There's nothing as beautiful as a girl that lives for Jesus. Even guys, not Christians, want to date them. It's interesting. I've seen many men come to church. Ladies, I just want to make you just keep on following the Lord, please Him. You are beautiful in His sight. Amen, guys. Amen. Right, let's summarize again. Come with great humility, guys. Let's confess His power. Let's tell Him who He is. Apply it personally to our situation. Let us present our lives to Him in submission to His will. You know, I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to come to Secunda when the awesome idea was first put on the table. So headquarters, I'm busy pastoring a church in Cape Town. I'm not going to lie. Listen, if I have to measure, probably 250 meters from the beach. Musenberg Surface Corner. Who knows where that is? Now I used to walk to Surface Corner as I pray. That's where I live. And so H gives me a call. Hey, I'm headquarters in Stellenbosch. Come, say hi. I'm like, awesome, we're going to go to HQ. We're going to relax. I'm joking. You're doing so great. I'm like, yeah. Thanks for your hard work in Cape Town. We've got a plan. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be good. They're like, thanking me for my hard work and everything. They said, we want you to think about going to, I'm like, Hawaii, Secunda. Lord, I'm in the tight spot. Get me out. Help. So I go to my wife. She couldn't come with me. She was busy. How's your meeting at HQ? What's going on? I'm like, no, you know, we've been doing really well. I must tell this to my wife. They're not sending us to Exile Island or something. Crying straight to the bottom. How do I deal with that? In any case, and that's how it went for a month. Okay, so they sent us up here. They said, no, please just go and look, go and preach there once. That was last year. When was it? June, July, in the most beautiful time of the year. Yeah, I like fire, you know, I like to dry, so all the grass being burned and some like flames everywhere. And, they said, just go there. Just for a week, go spend some time with the people and go preach. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go preach and get on the plane back to Cape Town as fast as possible. And so we come in here, and my wife, okay, she's a wedding photographer. You can go check her stuff out if you want. She loves pretty things, right? That's what she likes. It's also expensive for me. In any case. So we come here, and it's flames. Black grass, and my wife, she's just quiet, just like this. And I'm telling you, she's just this close to tears the whole time. So we go home after that, and my one friend makes a joke. He's just trying to break the atmosphere. This is his joke, one of the best. He says, in Secunda, what you do is you connect your aircon to the exhaust so that you can have fresh air in your car. That's what he says. He makes the joke, and my wife, I'm laughing. It's like, I'm just dead. My wife starts to cry. We're eating outside, so she's sitting there, she's crying. But my friend Loki, he just made my wife cry. I'm like, Loki, you have to sort this out now. I'm done. But you know what? I just said, I went before the Lord a few times. I said, Lord, if it's your will, I'll go. You know, but I didn't really want to say it. And then I would go on for a few days, and then I would like feel on my heart, just pray about it again. Lord, if it's your will, I will go. And I was praying. This one day I was standing on that mountain. I only told my wife this. It was a very intimate moment for me. Standing on the mountain, looking at the city ball, that's where our church was. We also have a church in Rondebosch, but the one in the city center, that's the one where I was. And I just started to cry like a baby, like everything was done. This one guy looked like I was hiding behind a bush, wanting to see how I was crying. I'm crying, and the Lord just makes a promise to me. He says, the work that he wants to do in Sekunda, in the lives of the people, it's going to be more beautiful than all these mountains. And I'm like, oh. And I just cried, and I just read some songs to, you know, get my spirit up. And I was reading, unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers labor in vain, you know? And unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman watches in vain, and the Lord just told me, this is his work. His work is happening here. He's building. And I'm not going to build it. I'm just going to go and help the people. I'm just going to go minister. And that day, something broke in my heart. But I had to commit my way to the Lord. There's two things I like doing. The one is mountain biking. And I think it's advocated for being two times. To mountain bike, you need mountains, right? So you mountain bike on mountains. You see any mountains here? No. The other thing I do is I surf. Do you see any waves breaking here? No. And the other thing I like is the white that's happening. That looked very dark. And the Lord just said, trust us. We packed our house, moving company came, everything we owned into a truck all the way here. I've never been as happy as I am. Never. I met some amazing guys in the back. Some of you guys coming in here week. It is the time of my life. I committed my way to the Lord. If you want, Lord, I'll be a fool for you because I'm a fool anyways. And I did it. And I'm happy. I'm asking you, what is God talking to you about? Take that bold move. Please don't move out of Sekunda, guys. I'm here now. You must go. We want all the cool people here. What is the move God wants you to make spiritually? Do it. Be a man or a woman about it, okay? And do it. So there's this guy on his knees, and he's saying, Lord, come for me, help me. Doing everything right, on his knees, acknowledging to Christ, you are so powerful. And then Jesus answered him. So let's call all that number eight. We spoke about having respect, on our knees, acknowledging his power, right? And now Jesus answered in verse 41, and check this out. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I will be clean. What moved Jesus to heal this man? Sympathy, empathy, heart that burns. Jesus, he can heal, right? But he doesn't heal simply because he can. He heals because he loves. He sees this man on his knees and something in his heart jumps. Think about Lazarus, right? Lazarus was even a child of God. Lazarus died. Now the other people, the family is crying. When Christ comes into the room, he sees how sorry the other people is, and he cries. He has pity on people. He loves us. He loves you. He sees you in that tight spot. Listen, I'll be honest. My parents, they don't know the Lord. I think God is working systematically with them as time goes on. But I've seen people in a tight spot and they're not willing to bow their knee before Christ. Do you know people like that? Guys, don't be like that. Bow me before you. Bow your heart. Bow your spirit. Everything you have, bow down. He moves with pity. And He touches you. Changes you forever. He don't move because He must, because He can. He moves because there's pity in His heart. If you are broken, oppressed, or in need, then it makes you an object of His mercy. That's what He wants. Give me a broken human being, Christ is happy. Because then He can come and give life. Give me a person that He thinks has got everything, all sorted, unmade man, I'll sort you out. How can God give you anything? You don't think you need, you won't go on your knees because in your eyes, you are complete. Amen, are you with me? I want to say one thing. Jesus hangs on a cross and His heart breaks. He's got pity. That's why He dies on the cross. He's got pity. He's got love. Right? And then we spoke about this other night. I quickly mentioned the family feast. Paul writes, he says, in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 15, I think, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Okay? God made me who I am. But His grace towards me was not in vain. And what that means is that Christ can hang on a cross, have love for you, have pity for you, has a plan for your life. All that that He has for you can end up on the floor. Grace can be in vain. Vernietigt, gemors. Don't let grace be in vain in your life. Bow your knee before God. Lord, everything you have for me, I want. Everything, give it. Gonna go on my knees before you. I want all of you, every ounce of pity and love you have for me, fill me with it because I need it. God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. Are you with everyone with me? Number one and two, Christ is driven by love. He comes to us with the kingdom of love, that has compassion, and then He speaks restoration. I will be healed. And He gives, He speaks through His word, through the people, through the hugs, through the, oh, let me pray with you. Let me put my hand around your shoulder and pray for you right now, because tomorrow I'm going to need it. And that's the way God speaks into your life. And that's why the Bible says Jesus is the head of the church. A group of people, not one group. Spider-Man sitting on a wall or something, being a Christian in his own house. But coming together and supporting one another. That's why we're here. We're almost done, guys. Now, this is very important, though. If you almost got tired, I need you to switch on. Check this out. Verse 43. This whole sermon is only on three verses. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. And said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest. Now, I'm not going to go into that a little more. It's kind of odd when Jesus said, don't tell anyone, right? We all had that question. Now, it's very simple. It's just practical reasons why Jesus asked him not to tell anyone. Because if anyone knows that Jesus is this miracle worker, and he goes into a town, the people will just trample him. They'll just pull him apart. It even happens in the soccer stadiums. People just step on one another. And then Christ needs to minister in the temples and connect with the people. So He says, don't tell anyone. Alright? I'll just leave that there. That's why I said that. But the point where I want to get at is Christ heals him and then He gives him an instruction. Listen carefully to me. Those who love Christ must receive with His mercy His instruction. I'll say that again. You are before God, and you just want to give your heart to Him. As He gives you mercy, He also gives you leadership. Remember the woman that was sleeping around, the Pharisees wanted to stone her? He says, I forgive you. I extend grace. But don't sin no more. Why did he say that? Because he wants to see this woman for eternity in heaven. So he helps her. He says, please don't go back into that lifestyle. I love you. When we come to Christ, there is always leadership. You know what I'm saying, guys? Are you with me? So let me take the glass off again. I'm being honest. That's why people come back here, because I'm not scared. I'll spell it out. I don't have a blackboard. If I was a teacher, I would write it. I'm telling you now, if you sleep around before marriage, your marriage is going to be rocky once you get married. I promise you. If you, God made sex for marriage, right? If you disobey, you know better. And one day you get married, you're going to have trouble. Because you used what was meant for here. You already abused the thing. Now you expect a blessed marriage? No. But there is an answer. You need to repent and walk away. You need to walk away from that life. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Like this man, I'm actually worse off than that man. He's just sick in his body. I'm sick in my spirit, Lord. I'm on my knees. I messed up here. Forgive me. Because I want the marriage that works. I want to follow your instruction. I want this thing to be glorious. I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband. There's one option, is to turn away. Say, Lord, you know, that's what repentance means. To repent means to walk in one way. You don't know God. It's okay. You don't know Him. You do what you want. You meet Him. You say, Lord, this way, because I'm leading, I'm going to destruction, right? If you disobey Him now in this life, you see the pattern? You won't follow Him, you won't listen to Him, you don't want to be with Him, and you die, then you're going to get that. You're not going to be with Him. You won't be able to follow Him, and He won't be able to love you. So while you're on this side, love Him, seek Him, follow Him, cherish Him. Read the Bible, love people. And you die and you'll be loved by people, loved by God. Experience His love. You see how we sow, how we reap. Okay? Remember what I'm saying? With His blessings comes leadership. And let's submit ourselves. Lord, if you will for me to go in this way, I will go. If you will for me to stop, I will turn and go. As long as I am with you. Amen? Finish off, guys. Last slide. I'm repeating this because I'm hoping that it will. I'm hoping that it will sit in our hearts. Let's stand up in this place. God, if you can come up. I want us to do this together tonight, as a little family. You can have your eyes on the screen and let's go through that together. I'm going to pray for us. Can I ask you to hold your hands like this? Okay, so just a suggestion to God. Well, I've got my hands like this because I want to receive something from you. I'm going to pray for us. You can pray with me if you want. You can say yes or amen, whatever. Father, we come to you tonight in great humility. Lord, just like that leper, we come to you and we say, we are dirty, whether it's inwardly, whether it's outwardly, Father, we need you. And we beseech you, we cry out of our heart, come and make your home in our hearts. Father, we confess tonight, it doesn't matter what we're at in our lives, whether our burden is physical, whether our burden is emotional. Father, people in this place have been wronged, have been sinned against, Father. There's bitterness and there's hate. But your power, we know that your power can come and change the situation around in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to apply it to ourselves. We want to say, not only are you a big God, hard and powerful, but you are powerful in my life. Not only are you are gracious to me. Not only are you victorious on the cross, you want to give me victory. Lord, we apply your love to ourselves. We say, come and love us. Father, we submit our lives to your will. We ask that you will show us. Father, thank you that there's always agreement when you show us where to go. When we think it's you that speaks to us and we go to a friend, there will be agreement. Yes, that's where to go. Father, lastly, maybe the most difficult one of all, because now we're done receiving, Father, it pleases you when we take your mercy and follow your instructions, your leadership. Lord, I thank you for people that even tonight draw a line in the sand. Say, you know what, I've been going this way, and I draw a line right here. I'm turning around. Lord, thank you for your leadership into my life. Eternity is what I want with you. Make me someone that has no fear. I will talk for you, Lord. In my workplace, where I practice my hobby, in my family, I'm not scared of talking for you, Lord, but give me that boldness and that courage. I'm asking you. Father, there's people in this place that's called for the nations to go on missions, to take the gospel to maybe where it has never been preached before. And maybe that's only going to happen in 20 years, but you need to start the work tonight, today. Character gets built over time. If you want to build character tonight, I thank you for that. Guys, while our eyes are closed, just have patience with me. The Lord just wants to do a few things. Let's just keep our eyes closed, and I want the believers to pray. If you are here tonight, and you, as I'm talking, and you're realizing that Christ is actually calling you, and you realize that there's a call on your life, and you realize that He has been good to you, but actually what you have done is you've actually turned your back on it. You've taken, but you have not followed. You've received, but you have not obeyed. I just want you to be bold and put your hand in the air very high. I'm just going to pray for you exactly where you stand. Thank you for those hands, but I don't want you to put your hand down if you want to say that. This. I want us to act, right? Because following God means taking our bodies to His glory. And this is the first sign. I'm not even going to call you guys to the front. I just want you to have your hand. Father, for those hands in the air, it takes courage, even when no man is looking, because I know I lift my hand to God, and He sees. And thank you for the courage for these men and women that put their hands up, because they say, Lord, see my hand, now take my hand, and lead me. I want everyone just to pray after me. Keep your hand in the air, everyone's eyes closed. Just repeat after me, everyone. Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight because I want to turn my life 180 degrees. But I don't have the power. Come do it in me. I believe you are the King. I believe you are the Savior. What I am back to you because you've given it to me. Lord, my past I leave behind, but I see my future in front of me, and it's a future for your kingdom. Father, I want to live for you, and I want to die for you until the last day. And then I will lift you for eternity. You can lower your hand. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your courage. Then there's some facilitators come to the front. Guys, I want to challenge you again. Listen, everyone, you can go to class. Thanks for being brave, for those who put up hands. I trust that just as the Lord touched that leper and Zika, He touched you at that moment, at this moment, just because you put your hand up. The same when you say, Lord, I put my hand up because my help is up there. It's not here in my wallet. I can't help myself. Help me. send. Okay? Maybe in a specific area in your life, it's been kind of wishy-washy. I'm actually speaking to people now that you're not hearing about it now for the first time. God has been speaking to you about this. You've actually been waiting to get the courage to be able to say, up to this point and no further. It's like a spirit of courage in this place. The Bible says God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and it's here. So here's an opportunity. If you need to draw a line in the sand, I want you to be bold. I'm not going to even ask you to do it. Just come to the front. We're going to pray with each other. Say, Lord, tonight I draw a line. Here's my line. No more of this, but fill me rather with that. Amen. We're going to sing the song. Well, I'm going to pray for us. As I pray, just come out if you want. Let's just close our eyes. Father, thank you for every person that's drawing a line in the sand tonight. That's saying, Father, up to this point and no further. Tonight, Father, I pray for Lord, just that spirit of love and power that comes like this massive wind behind a boat that just helps the person in the right direction. Thank you for that love that's in our midst here tonight. If that is you, just walk out tonight, take that courage, draw that line, come to the front, and we're going to pray for you. Step out. You know you need to say, Lord, I'm giving you this.